This digestive fire is what we call Agni. And Agni is what really burns the food really, really well. And we will have inherent Agni inside of us, but we will also, we can activate that Agni from the foods that we eat or the herbs that we take. So, for example, someone may be taking some ginger with their food, or they might have some ginger right before they eat, and that will increase your digestive fire, and you're going to be able to burn the food even better. You're going to be more completely digesting your food. But you could also be cooking with ginger. Some people might use other pungent. Remember, the hot, spicy foods are called pungent taste, and you might be using other pungent tastes that increase that Agni or that digestive fire. And that might be that you might cook with ginger, you might be having some black pepper, you might be adding some chilies, it might be onions or garlic, but all those are pungent, and they will increase that Pachaka Pitta or that digestive fire or Agni, and that will help you to burn your food better. But there's also some lesser-known aspects, and a very important one is called Samanavata, and Samanavata is the air or vata aspect of digestion. And we all know that for a fire to burn really brightly, that we need to have just the right amount of air. I mean, you think of that in if you had a campfire and if you threw a bunch of leaves on top or a blanket on top, well, no air will get in and the fire will not burn well. Or, for example, with your car, that you have just the right amount of fire, which is going to be the fuel, and then the carburetor puts the right amount of air in there. So it's very, very important that we have just the right amount of fire and the right amount of air in order to burn the food really well. And this air aspect of digestion is one of the main reasons that people will make ama. And so the Samanavata is disrupted by several different things. And one, anything cold, if you can remember vata, vata happens to be cold. And so if we're going to be adding in more cold, let's say it's cold food, a cold salad, cold ice cream, a cold beverage, ice in the drink, that you're going to be increasing that vata. And by increasing the vata, then Samanavata will not be able to work properly. Samanavata also governs peristalsis and food moving through your digestive tract. Samanavata is also affected by if you have eaten too much. If someone overeats, then what happens is that Samanavata does not have any space to be able to really do its job. So you might have done everything perfectly. You might have had ginger before you ate. You might have a very nice balance of foods. It might be the best organic food, but you overate it. It could be two bites too many. It does not appear to anyone that you ate too much, but that there now you do not have enough room in your stomach for Samanavata to really work well. And this will continue on throughout your whole digestive process. This will follow you down into the small intestine. And this is one of the main reasons that people will make ama. So what happens is once we've made it, now it's going to be absorbed. It goes into your bloodstream, and as it goes into your bloodstream, it goes circulates around your body, and it gets deposited. It tends to be deposited, first of all, it tends to be deposited in weak areas. So let's say, for example, someone's weak area might be their joints. Ama has a really great affinity for going towards joints. In fact, that is what arthritis is. Ayurvedically, looking at it, arthritis is going to be ama, or toxins, mixed with vata that's gone into the joints, and that's osteoarthritis. When it becomes rheumatoid arthritis, it's also pitta. It's ama, vata, and pitta that's gone into the joints. So it doesn't happen in every joint. you know, someone having a problem with the joint, they get it x-rayed, it's a knee, and the report comes back that they have osteoarthritis. They might have some lipping and spurring. They might have like a little growth of calcium or something that's going on. Well, that's because that joint might be weak and it attracted more ama. But it could be anywhere. It could be in the spine. Again, everyone doesn't get osteoarthritis evenly distributed throughout their spine. It will tend to go to certain places. And that's because the ama and the doshic imbalance will go to the weaker places. So ama could also go to organs. It might go around the heart. If it goes around the heart, let's say it goes to the carotid arteries, and now you are not getting as much blood flowing into your brain. It might go into the arteries that lead. It could go into the arteries that lead to the reproductive organs, and it's going to affect someone's sexual ability. Ama might get mixed with pitta and go to the skin, and now this is going to be acne. Or cystic acne, which obviously is just a very more complicated version. That means that the person really has been accumulating a lot of ama. So you can see that ama is something that we really don't want to be accumulated in our body. One really big way that people will see the ama is in cellulite. Now, I know this happens mostly to women, but that the cellulite is because it has gone to those weaker areas in the body. You know, perhaps it's around the thighs or the buttocks, and that's because apana vata, that vata in the abdominal area, if that's a little weakened in the person, the cellulite will have a tendency to be accumulated around there. So I guess we can all see that ama is something that we do not want. Of course, we can do many different therapies to be able to get rid of ama. That's one of the main things that Panchakarma is for. Panchakarma is wonderful at loosening ama and getting rid of ama. Any type of cleansing at all, you can do at-home cleansing. You might be doing an at-home oleation program. I know that many of you will do that. Or you might just eat less and do a khichdi diet. Well, that's going to help the ama to be released. But by far, the easiest way to deal with ama is not to make it to begin with. And how do we do that? Well, one of the best ways of not making ama is to follow conscious eating habits. When I tell this to people, I know it always sounds quite obvious that we should not be unconsciously eating, but I think many, many people do unconsciously eat. For example, if you sit and eat with someone and you're talking a lot, you're in your head and you're talking, and you're not in your body, several things happen. One, all you're more in your sympathetic nervous system instead of the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system would be putting more blood and attention into the internal organs so that you could digest your food well. But if you're talking and you're really getting into what you're saying, well, now you're engaging more that sympathetic nervous system, and now the blood will more go to the extremities or up into your head, and you're going to be thinking more and more, and you're not going to be putting attention on your food. When you don't have your attention on the food or on your body, then you will have a tendency to overeat. And remember I said that that's one of the main ways that we make ama is by eating a little bit too much. You may never, ever, ever think that you ate too much. It could just be a little bit more than you need. But one way you can see if you do overeat, you're going to see that white coating on your tongue in the morning. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up, look at your tongue. I know many of you probably use a tongue scraper to get that ama off. But look at your tongue beforehand. And really see, is there very much ama on your tongue? If you have ama on your tongue, you need to stop and say, why do I have ama on my tongue? you need to begin eating much more consciously, really be in your body when you eat. Don't be standing up. What happens is if you're standing up at the counter or over the sink, seems like it's one of people's favorite places to eat. People tell me this all the time. They stand in front of the sink and they eat, I guess so that they don't get the crumbs everywhere. But ideally, one would sit down and eat. And one of the main reasons that we want to sit down to eat, again, we're going to be focusing on the food, but if you're standing, vata is coming upward. The vata in the abdominal area is coming upward, and it can blow out your digestive fire. And now you're surely going to be making ama. It's also very, very, very important that as you're sitting down to eat and you're really, really, you're focusing in on the food. So let's say you're eating by yourself. You're not talking to anybody. You need to make sure that your mind is clear, that you're not having distractions, that the radio is not on, and please do not have the TV on because that will definitely pull your attention away. But it even has to do with what is in your mind. You could be eating there, and it's all quiet, you have a candle burning, and you have your nicest silverware, but your mind is being busy and active, and you're not putting your attention on the food. So what I want you to do, maybe over the next couple of days, is tap in while you're eating and say, what is going on with my mind? Am I thinking a lot of things? If you're thinking, that means, again, your attention is all up into your head, and it's not down in your abdominal area. Ideally, one would take a bite, put the utensil down, and sit and be with that food and taste that food. Be in your mouth. Allow your tongue to really get all that enjoyment and pleasure out of the food. Let the whole digestive process begin with the right digestive enzymes coming out of your salivary glands. That is the, you know, that saying, well begun is half done. You want to begin the digestive process really, really well. Now, it's also important what you do eat. I know I touched upon this a little bit earlier, but it's very important that you make sure that the food is warm and moist and well-cooked. Raw vegetables, you know, it's fun to have a salad every once in a while, but if you're eating a salad on a regular basis, that means that you are aggregating your vata on a regular basis. And that it can affect that samana vata, which is that air aspect of digestion, and it can also affect that other lower abdominal vata, the apana vata, which can also affect the digestive fire or agni. So it's very important not to be eating too many raw vegetables. Even if one is trying to lose weight, it in the long run, since most of excess weight is ama, it's not much fat. I mean, there is fat, but most people, their excess weight is ama. That having a nice, warm, well-cooked meal is going to help you. Is going to facilitate you losing weight a lot easier than having that salad. It's also very, very important that what you're drinking with the meal. Ideally, you'd be having hot water, or you might have some ginger tea, or maybe even another type of tea if you would like, but nothing cold. Even cold water, say very cold water, is also going to put out your digestive fire. You want to have the right amount of water. You don't want to have too much water. If you have too much water, then it's going to dilute your digestive juices. If there's not enough water, then you're going to not evenly be able to distribute the digestive juices. Ideally, one would not eat too much late at night. Eating too much late at night is also going to be a sure way of making a lot of ama. At night, like right now, we're in kapha time of day. Last month we spoke about the times of day. We're in kapha time of day. Everything is slowing down, and that includes your digestion. If you eat heavy at dinner, you're going to aggravate kleshas kapha, the kapha aspect of digestion, and you will not digest your food well. So ideally, what you can do is you follow conscious eating habits, and also you watch what you're doing throughout the day. Only eat when you're hungry. Try to have lunch be the main meal of the day with your main protein source and your main fat source at lunch. Try to be drinking plenty of water throughout the day, as this will help to flush your system. And ideally, warm water. I frequently drink hot water all day long. It's a very wonderful way for getting rid of ama. As I mentioned earlier, scraping your tongue. You should all be having a tongue scraper, stainless steel or metal. The plastic ones don't work as well. And be scraping at least once a day, because scraping your tongue actually stimulates your body to let go of more ama. So I want to have some time for questions. So what I would like to say is that before I stop this, I'd like to say that it's very important that you all be very conscious of when you're eating, how you're eating, and why you're eating. Are you hungry when you eat? Are you emotional when you eat? Because not only is there physical ama, there's also emotional ama. But that is going to be a topic for a future talk. So I'm going to unmute all of you, and let's see if there's any questions. Namaste. Okay, everybody, is there any questions?
Yep.
Okay.
Hi, Mary Jo. It's Terry Luato.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi. Hey, would you be able to talk about accumulated effects of working out during the noon hour, exercising at lunchtime?
Well, there's several reasons that wouldn't be good. Now, one is that since lunch is supposed to be the main meal of the day so that we can burn our food the best, sometimes people will work out instead of having a good lunch. And so obviously then that is not good. And if someone eats and then exercises, then also they're not going to digest their food very well. If someone, and I'm going to put you guys back on mute so that, because I'm hearing some things in the background.
Conference muted.
So, also, if you, a lot of times what people will do is they'll exercise, they'll use their hour to exercise, and now they're eating at their desk. So now they're eating quickly, or they're eating while they're typing, or whatever, and that they're going to be making ama. But I'd say one of the main reasons to not exercise at lunchtime is because it's pitta time. And when you exercise at pitta time a day, it's going to aggravate your pitta. If you're exercising outside, then it's for people of pitta body type. And remember, most people, the vast majority of people, are pitta in their body type. Exercising around noontime is going to aggravate your pitta. It's much better in kapha time. The ideal time to exercise would be between 6 and 10 in the morning, even though I know it may not be entirely convenient. Terry, did that answer your question?
It's the accumulation of ama, primarily. Even if you took time out for a good relaxed lunch after you exercised at 11 or 12 in the morning, 12 o'clock, would that be?
Well, you know, your whole, and again, I'm gonna mute it again because I'm hearing some dogs barking.
Conference muted.
So what happens is that exercising is going to really rev you up. If you can, like, maybe sit down and maybe do, like, 5 minutes of alternate nostril breathing, what's going to happen is that your body will go more back to normal, and then you're going to be able to digest your food better. So I'd say if you really need to exercise at lunchtime, that would probably be the best way to help compromise it, would be by sitting down and doing some alternate nostril breathing. Are there any other questions?
Yes, Mary Jo, I have a question. This is Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
Hi. So raw vegetables are not indicated because they create ama, but what about raw fruit? Is there a way to go about eating raw fruit so that it's most beneficial?
That's a great question. Now, I don't want to say that eating raw vegetables are a total no-no, because I know that people that are fit in their body types, they really do like to have, you know, a little bit of raw vegetables. So I think a little bit is okay. It's going to be better at lunch than at dinner. And also, if you're having other warm foods with the raw vegetables, and if you put a nice salad dressing that had, like, olive oil and maybe lemon on it or something, it will make it less vata aggravating to do that. Because I don't want everyone to think, oh, no, now I can't eat a salad at all, ever. But people with vata imbalances should stay away from salads until their vata disturbance is gone. So to clarify about the vegetables. But for fruit, fruit is so wonderful. Fruit, one of my Ayurvedic teachers, he would say, fruit has already been digested by the sun. Fruit is so easy to digest. And it's fine because it's so easy to digest. Many fruits are okay to have even at the end of the meal, except you should avoid having melons at the end of the meal because they really digest very, very, very quickly. But let's say if you wanted to have, you know, peaches. Peaches and nectarines are coming into season. If at the end of your meal you want to have a nice summer fruit like that, that is fine. If you want to have watermelon, now that is going to disrupt your digestive process. So it depends on what fruit that you pick. The fruits do not necessarily need to be cooked. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Good. Are there any other questions?
Hey, Mary Jo, this is Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
Hi. Just wondering about garlic. Is garlic considered rajasic? So does that affect meditation if we take it regularly?
You know, it's a really great question, Carmen. Yes. So if we looked at it Ayurvedically, spiritually, we would put garlic in the category. And you guys, I'm gonna mute you guys.
Conference muted.
That looking at it Ayurvedically, spiritually, that garlic is rajasic. Remember, there are the three main qualities or gunas: sattva, rajas, and tamas. And what happens is that we really want to go in the direction of a sattvic diet because that's a life supporting diet. We need a little bit of rajas or rajasic in our lives, right? Because it's part of a balanced living. But in particular, garlic is very rajasic. And when people are on the meditation path, garlic is not a good food to eat. And because, as Carmen said, because it is so rajasic, what it does, it keeps the energy in the lower chakras and can affect meditation. And anything that's rajas, you can think of it as like, in a way, I'm loosely going to say this, that you can think of it as pitta aggravating, and that what it does is it's stimulating and it stirs things up, and it doesn't allow the mind and your whole being and your body to really settle in and to be quiet in the meditation. And so most people will find that if they eliminate garlic from their diet, that just overall, just even in general, even throughout the day, they're probably feeling more peaceful. But in particular, it's going to allow for an even deeper meditation. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of minutes. We have to 2 minutes, and I just wondered if there's anything else. Any other questions?
Mary Jo?
Yes?
My name is Barbara Lockhart. I'm a friend of Diane Furtado's, and she couldn't be a part of the workshop, so I'm taking some notes, and I just wanted to say thank you very much for having it.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I'm so happy that you could listen in tonight. And what I want to do is every month is I want to have some topic so that all of you can more easily live an Ayurvedic lifestyle. And what I would like to do is, and if you want, I have a newsletter. I have a newsletter that comes out once a month. And if you can contact me and then let me know what your email address is, because I'm going to be listing all the dates and the topics of these talks. And what I would like all of you to do over the next couple of days, if maybe you could suggest a topic or two that you would like to hear me speak about, because what I would like to do is set up the topics for the remainder of the year so that all of you will know in advance what we're going to be talking about. I'm also going to put, obviously, them in the newsletter so that you'll know that, but I think it would be really, really great for your input into what I should be speaking about. But in general, what I want to speak about is different aspects of Ayurveda that will allow you to even more easily live an Ayurvedic lifestyle. If it's about food or cooking or six tastes, but it could also be about emotional things. It could be about cleansing things. So whatever you all would like, if you have a particular interest, then please let me know. Next month, I've picked the topic, and I put it in the newsletter. The newsletter actually went out today, you guys, so maybe you can be looking in your email for the newsletter. But next month, I'm going to be talking about summer pitta-pacifying diet, like how we can be eating in the summertime so that we can make the most out of the summertime and not to be aggravating pitta. Mm. Now, another thing that I wanted to tell you all about is that hopefully by next week, I'm going to be having an MP3 of these talks in the article section of my website. And for those of you who don't know that on my website, if you go to the link that says articles, I have quite a few different articles, and I'm starting to put my articles about the different chakras in there as well, so that if you want to hear this again, or if you wanted to tell a friend about the talk, then you can go to my website. And I hope that will be completed sometime next week. Mm. Great. So, well, I would love to thank you all for being part of this, and I will look forward to having you all here next month, and it's going to be July 21st. It's always going to be, well, I shouldn't say always, it will usually be the third Thursday of each month. And so next month it's July 21st at 7 o'clock. Have a wonderful evening. Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.